The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome back, Stunt Granny Audio One Something or Other. It's been a little bit since we did one of these, and by a little bit, meaning last week, because we did the TNA roster game, which hopefully everyone checked out, because that was actually, it starts off pretty slow, but you just got to stick with it, because it gets pretty damn good at the end. This is Jeremy, in case you don't remember. Joining me this week is Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
What is happening?
Yes, so that's Kevin DeFranco's voice. We don't really have any sort of one theme or topic like we usually do. Just a whole lot of little tidbits this time around. WWE's leading up the Survivor Series. TNA just had a pay-per-view. What was the pay-per-view? Turning Point?
Yeah, Turning Point.
Okay, so they had Turning Point or whatever. Their next pay-per-view, they already started making matches for it, which is Final Resolution. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Raw was 3 hours.
Yes, it was.
The Rock made his triumphant return of sorts. Mick Foley came back. Kevin Nash got to beat up Santino, sorta. CM Punk did some stuff. JR got embarrassed again. And thanks for tuning in. You can follow us at stuntgranny@gmail.com. Oh, no, wait a minute. Nah, I fucked it up, so I'll give it again later.
yeah.
All right. So,
you know, I don't even know if JR got embarrassed, really.
They tried. We'll bring that up when we get to WWE. Let's stick with TNA since they had the pay-per-view, and because we just did the roster game.
And we actually talked about them sometime in the recent past.
Right. Now, at their last pay-per-view, which we're going to stick with as Turning Point, because I'm too lazy to click back on any of these browsers to look, AJ Styles lost to Robert Roode on a roll-up and a handful of tights.
They were actually on that pay-per-view?
Yeah, AJ Styles, that was the main event, because remember James Storm was supposedly hurt?
Oh, you know what? I didn't end up reading the spoilers, or the spoilers. Listen to me. I didn't end up reading what the hell happened at that pay-per-view then.
Oh, good. So this is going to be awesome. So this will be, this will be fresh, for, you know.
Well, you talked about the spoilers from that, and I guess I was wondering why it was so weird that that they were already setting a rematch.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the whole thing with that, with the Bobby Roode, AJ Styles thing. Now, here's my problem, and it doesn't get addressed at the tapings either. James Storm wins the TNA title from Kurt Angle in 14 seconds, whatever ridiculous amount of time it was. All right.
Yep.
A big celebration. He's talking about family, and he's talking about sacrifice and
lifelong dream.
The whole thing that makes it seem like, wow, this is actually, I almost said Turning Point. This is actually a big deal. This is something that matters, you know? He goes on to Dixie Carter's tweeting that, you know, this is so great and lifelong dream, and goes on, and they have Bobby Roode and, you know, James Storm, and you're like, well, Bobby Roode beats him. So you're like, oh, well, automatically, you know, it reminded me a little bit of the Christian thing. But at least Christian got 4 months of pay-per-view matches out of it. Where James Storm now lost the title, isn't on the pay-per-view, And now he's facing the former champion because he attacked him, which is revealed at the end of the tapings from Monday night. So, does this make James Storm Mankind in the whole Triple H Steve Austin SummerSlam debacle?
Oh, I don't even remember what happened there.
Remember, it was SummerSlam, and it was clear it was Triple H's time to be champion. And they pulled the old rug out, and Mankind won it, and then lost it the very next day on Raw to Triple H, the triple threat match. I wish I could remember the year.
Oh, wow. I was thinking that Kane was the only one that only had the 24-hour title hold.
No.
Silly me.
Yeah. But no, it just seems ridiculous that they go through all of this, the sell, the angle, and actually make it seem somewhat, you know, I don't know, we were goofing on the match for being only, what, a minute 14 or whatever, but at least it was something different. It wasn't Kurt Angle, it wasn't Jeff Jarrett, it wasn't Sting, it wasn't Jeff Hardy, it was somebody different, somebody who a lot of the, like, longtime TNA viewers, you know, it was a payoff finally.
Right.
And then they go and pull the rug out and do all this other crap. And it seems like they just got in their way again, got in their own way again.
Yeah. And that, I think that's the biggest problem, for me, is that Rude kind of still looks a bit like an idiot for losing and then having to cheat to win and crossing his buddy who just like, supported him all through the title hold or through through his first
the chase.
Yeah, the chase. Because so they pulled the rug out under Rude first, and then they give the title to James Storm pretty much on a whim, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, there was no reason that you really
No, you're right. Yeah.
You could have done it the opposite way and had Storm be the one who turned on Rude. With all the hype that Rude ended up getting, but I guess that's a whole different animal that we don't even really need to get into, I suppose. So, yeah, they pulled the rug out from under Rude, and then they do it to Storm, too.
Right.
And it's like, huh? Like, what the hell are you guys doing? And then AJ Styles recently has lost to, Christopher Daniels. Mm-hmm. And he lost to Bobby Roode just not that long ago, you know, in the Kurt Angle challenge or whatever that was, where he was making him wrestle everyone in Fortune.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, why should this clown get a shot if he's on a losing streak? I don't know.
No, that's exactly it. The whole thing has been a colossal mess. They should have just gone with Rude the next day on Impact. And and this is obviously fantasy booking or corrective booking, which is what I think it should be called in this case. We talked about it. It didn't make any sense that Sting is in charge of everything and. There was some contractual whatever goal that there couldn't be a rematch for Bobby Roode. And I even said on the show, well, why didn't Sting just go, oh, that's good, I'm going to ignore that, and you're going to have your match anyways.
Yeah. Or just even say, oh, your contract's void now that I'm in power.
There you go. That too. And then have Bobby Roode win it. To make amends, you can't go back and change everyone's fuck up at the pay-per-view. But you can just make amends that day, and I don't know, maybe people would be pissed off, or the criticism would be lobbied that, you know, it should have happened on the pay-per-view. All those people that paid money now just got screwed, or something like that. Which is kind of understandable, actually.
Right.
But then have, you know, the James Storm thing where he's working his way and just something else. It just, they could have gotten to the point with James Storm, Bobby Roode breaking up, and they could have sold the James Storm part running after Bobby Roode. and had weeks of TV for that and build up to a pay-per-view the way they did with Bobby Roode. Because I don't think anyone complained about the build-up for Bobby Roode going after Kurt Angle, showing stuff, you know, showing him at home, showing us behind-the-scenes stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was one of the few things that got me to go, oh, okay, they're actually taking him seriously as a headliner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I really liked those segments. They were really good. And then, yeah, they just screwed it up.
Yeah. And, I mean, especially imagine, like, weeks of build-up, you know, James Storm, and you've got all these complications that have worked into this match. And even focus on Bobby Roode a little bit, that, you know, I fought all this time. I beat Kurt Angle on the biggest stage in TNA. And now, you know, my brother, my partner, my best friend, this and this, has been built up for, you know, or it's his turn at what I've worked so hard to get. And they actually covered it a little bit before that match they had, where it was everything's about this title. In the ring, it doesn't matter who's who, what's what. It's all about the title. They could have had a couple weeks of that, built it up for a pay-per-view, and made it seem clear Storm was going to win. You know, just like they kind of did with Bobby Roode.
Right.
Then you have Bobby Roode do the cheap shot shit out of the blue, and everyone could just be sitting there going, what? And then you've got more of a program going. Not have him beat, James Storm has an injury, disappears, and now fight somebody else. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, there's just so much that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
What is that thing growing on his lip?
It's the Movember thing, you know, testicular cancer. Everyone's
Seriously?
Supposed to be growing a mustache.
Oh, I thought that was just like No Shave November or something.
No.
That must be what the kids are doing. Okay.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think that's the funny thing is that we've probably brought up TNA more because their booking, for the most part, is always bad. But they've so colossally fucked up recently that they had to be brought up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the level of bad that to me, that they've fallen under with this recent stuff. It's like, wow, like, I can't believe that you're this dumb.
Yeah. But to me, it's...
Even knowing that they were dumb to start with.
Yeah. But see, to me, this is dumb in a... It's not a colossal failure sort of way. It's bad, and yeah, you failed pretty badly at it. But you can still get out of it. You can still, you know, it's not... You're in the nosedive. You still haven't hit ground yet.
Uh-huh.
I mean... But just seeing that they're going to push AJ Styles some more and have him I mean, I just don't understand what goes on in this company behind the scenes to where they've pulled the trigger on what should have been a few weeks, months of booking angles, you know, to make Storm seem legit, give him his first title win and have that big celebration, or pull the rug out from under him and just make you infuriated that – this heel, you know, and not do it, and this is where TNA runs into trouble, not do it in a way where fans are pissed off because, like, fucking TNA can't do anything right now, but make it in a way it's like, I didn't see that coming, and I don't know if I like what happened, but I will tune in to see. And then make your opinion, or, you know, I really don't like Bobby Roode now, but I think a lot of TNA's problem is they have what, you know, we all call the smart fan. Kind of like what we're doing now, telling them what to do. There's little enjoyment factor without knowing just what fucking backward shit they are.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There would be people to tell them to book this way, honestly. Like anybody that does have half a brain?
I would hope, but yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that's the only problem for me. But I do kind of like your idea that it isn't a colossal failure, Like, they, you know, I might have to go back on that, because they really, quite some time ago, at least with James Storm, should have done something more than they have already. Like, he was just kind of sitting there for them, and they kept on depending upon Sting, even though he clearly wasn't there, Ric Flair, who clearly wasn't there. You know, so, I mean, I guess those, him and Rude getting into that area, so long as they actually keep them there, which, you know, will have to be something for the future, obviously. It'll be, you know, I guess that is the only positive that comes out of that whole situation.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, it's definitely, as we've already noted, it's not the right way to do it. They blew through storylines that, like you said, could have lasted months within the matter of three weeks.
Yeah. I mean, even with Kurt Angle, they could have pulled an injury angle with Kurt Angle to where, you know, something comes up and even he comes back in the picture going, you know, I was hurt. That's the only reason you beat me, James Storm. Then you could have Bobby Roode bitching. You know, they could have worked everything back in. And, yeah, it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's that. And you were talking the blown through storylines thing. Like, they couldn't even wait more than a week or something like that to figure out who attacked James Storm.
Right. Well, I
wouldn't say milk it a lot longer, but they could have had him get attacked again.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Go another week or two with that. Like, they could have stretched it out a little bit longer.
But also, was it even that big of a deal? I mean, I know wrestling's always got this thing with someone getting attacked and not knowing who it is, but did it have to be addressed right then? Were people clamoring to say, wait a minute, who attacked James Storm? Who attacked James Storm? And then to just have it be Kurt Angle. That's a huge letdown.
Yeah, well, and it would have made more, you know, if it would have cost Storm something, it would have made more sense in a way. But knowing that he couldn't, and I didn't even, because I didn't tape the overtime of Impact this past week. I saw him staggering down to the ring, but I didn't see what ended up happening in that match. Did Rude just pin him real quick?
I don't remember. No, I didn't get a chance to tape the overrun either.
Okay.
Because apparently my TNA settings are all messed up now because Beavis and Butthead and something else record. Messes the TNA recording up.
Gotcha.
But, and I, you know, I'm not too down on it, but going back to something you said, though, about blowing through storylines as well, Gail Kim beat Velvet Sky for the TNA title already. Why? That should have been milked out. I mean,
I
understand.
Because that's what they do with TNA. Or that's what they do with WWE talent. Even though this is her second go-around in TNA.
Yeah, and really, she was, I mean, yeah, but also, I mean, if you think about it, that's even worse. She went to WWE, couldn't make herself anything there. She comes back to TNA and is immediately the champion, and it's like,
It's hard to say too much about someone not succeeding in the women's division in the WWE. And it's kind of like saying, well, like, everybody hasn't succeeded in the women's division. I don't care if Beth Phoenix has the belt right now. She hasn't succeeded, honestly, like, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. I guess the only thing I've got to counter that is everyone at least has been a champion at one time or another.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gail Kim never even sniffed it. She's in that battle royal. She eliminated herself. Well, that was at the end, but, I mean, Kelly, Eve, Natalya hasn't yet. Beth Phoenix, Maryse before she was released or whatever, Tamina, but they barely use her.
Yeah,
but no, it's like,
and she hasn't, I don't know if she's even served enough time yet.
Right. But no, it's, she never even sniffed a title opportunity, but yet TNA, instead of even bringing it up, I mean, I guess you don't want to bring that one up. Not, you know, I'll quickly recant that one, but, yeah, She should have been fighting her way through all the way through. Because isn't she part of the Knockouts tag team champions as well?
Had her and Madison Rayne win those titles on Impact this week.
Okay.
This past week. And then, she wins the title at the pay-per-view, which is another one where, you're talking about, lifelong dream, yada, yada. And Velvet Sky finally gets it. They had some pretty solid build-up of her, honestly, saying how much she'd been picked on. And they had a bunch of storylines where she was being picked on by various people, from Angelina and Winter, and then moving on to ODB and Jackie Moore. And then Karen started to run her down really last before she ended up winning the title. So they have this nice underdog story. And then all of a sudden, she loses the title again. It's just like, okay, it's nice to...
Whoa, wow. Sorry. All right, everyone. All right. Full disclosure. We've got the Colorado-Pittsburgh game on in the background. That was, and I know it's against your boys, but damn.
Yeah, no, right, that was a snipe.
Holy shit. All right. Anyways, what were you saying?
Yeah. And Paul Martin gets another minus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Hey, what's that in between my legs? Hey. All right. So anyways, score. And for those who were wondering, it's now 3-1 in the first period. Okay.
Yep. Karen bullying Velvet Sky just winning the title. What the shit? Yeah, I mean, they just really took it off of her too quick. But, I mean, I guess going back to they do this with WWE talent, I guess they more do it in the women's division, at least the immediate thing, because Mickie James had a title shot like a nanosecond after she was brought into the company too.
Victoria and... I'm trying to think. And I don't know if this counts too much, but RVD, the first night in the company.
Oh.
They've got such an inferiority complex about their talent, their homegrown talent, that it's at this point in time, it can't be a surprise at all.
So. No, it shouldn't be. And it's disappointing, It's like they keep on using that storyline, but, they don't do anything about it. It's like, it's kind of like I mentioned in this week's Almost Live, turning into Definitely Live, and half-assed review of Raw there, is that CM Punk gets to say all this stuff about what's wrong with the company.
Yeah.
And he's right. But nothing changes. And TNA has pretty much done the same thing. Like, how many times do they run this, the homegrown talent is better than the talent you're bringing in thing? Like, they've run that storyline at least 3 or 4 times.
Right. Yeah.
And they haven't done anything about it. Like, nothing has changed. It's still the WWE talent that is at the top of the totem pole for the most part. And that's it.
And it always will be.
Yeah. I mean, and even in my buddy Ken, I was talking about all the top WWE talent, and he goes, oh, so is Jeff Jarrett one of the people leading TNA? I was like, well, yeah, he did found the company, so I guess he doesn't really count. But, I mean, there are still some people that only watched in the heyday like he did and think of Jarrett as a WWE guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. It's always going to be their stigma until they start making their own talent. And when they have that opportunity to make their own talent, they yank the rug out from under them. Bobby Roode, James Storm, I mean.
Yeah, well, and even Velvet Sky.
Velvet Sky.
And they did some weird bullshit what's her name? Angelina Love holding the title. You know, like, I think she turned to the dark side soon thereafter with Winter for whatever reason is become completely and utterly muddled at this point.
Yeah. Now, when you have that many wrestlers. Oh, there was one other title change. Speaking of homegrown talent, Robbie E beat Eric Young for the TV title. So, yeah.
Yep, they're at least keeping the TNA TV title in the homegrown talent area.
Yeah, and also Jeff Hardy beat Jeff Jarrett in 14 seconds or something, and then they restarted them. It's like I don't care about Jeff Hardy. I don't care about Jeff Jarrett. No, I mean not at all.
Yeah, but
it's such a messed up thing. So. So, yeah, that's enough of them. Let's go on to WWE for a while.
Sure.
What'd you think of Raw? And other than time frame wise.
Yeah, I mean, they featured just about everyone that was going to be on the pay-per-view. So there's that upside, but. I mean, really, what did they do as far as selling that goes? You know, there isn't anything that, you know, aside from it being Survivor Series, that, you know, I don't know. I don't have anything for it, you know?
Yeah. I think they did.
It was there, like I said, everyone got featured, but nothing happened.
Right. I think one thing they did correctly, I like the Wade Barrett, Randy Orton stuff. It didn't make the team aspect any better, but I think it's good they're getting behind Barrett the way they are, and they're giving him sustainable points to make. This is clearly the, hey, we got to get these guys on the card sort of thing.
Right.
One guy noticeably absent, and I can't believe... Hunico or Hunico, whatever they're calling him. I can't believe he's on the pay-per-view. Daniel Bryan's not, as far as I know.
Oh. Yeah, no, is he part of Team Orton?
No. No, okay. It's Sheamus, Orton, Mystico, sorry, that was his name.
Yeah, Sin Cara.
Thank you. Sin Cara. There's one of these is not like that was Sin Cara. No, Daniel Bryan's not on that team though. As we both frantically go to the WWE site to find just who is on the card.
Exactly. Beth Phoenix versus Eve. Who gives a crap? Oh, yeah. Get away, you stupid pop-ups. Yeah, you're right, because we need to have Roy Boy on there instead of
Daniel Bryan. Oh, that's
right,
Mason Ryan. Oof, oh, boy.
Well, allegedly Roy Boy.
Whatever. a piss test explodes when he's around. He's a goofy man. And it's someone pointed out it's the hair. I do believe it is the hair that makes it really creepy. But he's ridiculously big.
Yeah, and like... I wonder what his, how tall he is. I'm gonna have to take a look at that. Because, like, Batista, at least he seemed to somewhat, meet his, frame.
Yeah.
But he's another one, like Ezekiel Jackson. He seems a little bit shorter, but he has, like, as much muscle, but it's packed into about 4 less inches.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, I just saw a picture of Kane and realized I haven't, missed him at all.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Just one of those guys that disappeared. And there's no cry, but again, when he comes back, it'll be like, hey, Kane's back. And then it'll just immediately fade away. Now, one thing I got a problem with, I'm looking at that team.
Oh, bigger, they're saying 6'5".
Yeah. Mm. God. I wonder how wide he is then.
Yeah.
But the one thing I was wondering, why do all, if it's a Hispanic wrestler, why do they all have to wear bandanas? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, do they, I don't know the culture that well, okay, but do they all have to? Is it just because he's a bad guy? Because I remember Chavo used to wear one when he was a bad guy. Did Eddie have one too?
Yeah, you're right. It is only a bad guy thing.
Well, that's just, God, it's boring.
Well, and to me, it was just like they kind of got onto the Mexican gang thing a little, just a tad late with LAX, and then there was a break, and then LAX again, and then now they have Mexican America. It's just like, wow, you're copying off of TNA now? I mean, I know that there are Mexican gangs and whatnot, and lots of people losing their heads down in that fine, fine country.
Well, but, I guess the only Mexican guy that's a heel that doesn't would be Alberto Del Rio. I just thought of that. Well, even LAX, isn't Homicide Puerto Rican? He's not even Mexican?
Correct. And
okay.
Hernandez is American, so.
That's right.
Yeah, Hernandez is, so.
Now, I'm looking at this team, and Mason Ryan shouldn't be there. Hunico shouldn't.
Yeah, well, they can't have one Mexican without another Mexican, so.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know, you need dueling Mexicans.
Yes. I don't dislike this match either, but I do think it's weird Daniel Bryan's not on the card anywhere.
Yeah,
especially being the Money in the Bank winner. So maybe they'll add something tonight at the tapings so he can get on the card.
Yeah, and they only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches. I mean, it honestly seems like they could pull another, it just seems too late, though, to pull another 5-man together.
Well, there's that, they could just put a singles match, but I don't know who we'd face. I mean, John Morrison isn't on this either.
Oh.
So I'm trying to think, real quick, Morrison, Evan Bourne's, suspended. Wow, I'm just drawing a blank on people.
It's just because no one matters.
Right.
Which it honestly just doesn't help.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Daniel Bryan's the only one that to me stands out a bit because they do seem to be getting behind him again.
Yeah. He also stands out because he's the Money in the Bank winner. You know? And you'd think that since he hasn't cashed it in that he would sooner or later.
Right.
So you'd want to put him out there. But, all right. So here's some guys that aren't on the card. And really, he's kind of disappeared anyways. Alex Riley. And I'm not saying I want these guys on the card. I'm just pointing people out. So just shut up.
But like I said, there's only 5 matches. Cena and Rock versus the Awesome Truth. Mark Henry versus Big Show, Del Rio versus CM Punk, the 5-man match, and then Beth Phoenix versus Eve. I mean, that to me doesn't quite sound like a complete pay-per-view, because those Survivor Series matches never last like a realistic length.
But dude, I'll tell you what right now, though. the other match wouldn't matter. I mean, all right, Zack Ryder's not. So you could, all right, you could have on one side, Alex Riley, Daniel Bryan, John Morrison, Zack Ryder, right? Ted DiBiase, because he's a face now.
Yep.
And.
That's 5, isn't it?
Who did I say? Did I say Justin Gabriel?
Oh, well, Justin Gabriel could be thrown in there too.
All right, so he'll be on there. Well, then on the other side, here's the problem. Jinder Mahal, no one in the right mind wants to see him, let alone on a pay-per-view.
I thought you were going to have a list. I didn't go to the superstars to check it out.
I am at the superstars list.
Oh.
Heath Slater.
Cody Rhodes is in the match. Drew McIntyre, no one still cares.
So there you go. I mean, that's why. There's nobody.
Oh,
that's pretty crazy.
Gee. Wow. There are a lot of people on here that just have kind of gone away. Oh, that's right. Primo and the other Mexican don't have a spot either.
No, I don't care. You're exactly right.
No, I mean, it is. Like, all of the rest of the heels are non-existent, really. I mean, because I'm just looking here, Tyler Rex, whatever. You know?
He's a guy you can't even hate. Like, he's a guy you don't even have an opinion on. It's like, oh, Tyler Rex. You just keep going. You don't just go on.
Yeah, no, I think I about listed the extra ones. Aside from McGillicuddy, who... Isn't he actually injured?
I don't know. I thought Alex Riley might have been, but then I saw him on his episode of Superstars. Well, I'm sorry. I read about him being on an episode of Superstars.
Everyone's favorite on the site except for mine, William Regal, could be in there.
Yeah. So, but no, it just weird. I think one thing that got lost and no one talked about, and well, except for Dolph, while he was doing it, and I texted you, right? Yeah. Dolph absolutely destroyed on the mic last night. He went, and then all of a sudden he just turned around and was like, and by the way, how damn good am I at this? And then it went right on going. So, and I liked the fact that he interrupted Vicky to do his thing. And I like everything going on about that gimmick right now, and it's just his act. And they really need to go with that and see how far they can go and push it. But the problem, and we talked about this, is WrestleMania right now, it's in such a pattern. I mean, nothing else is going to matter except Rock and Cena. And, of course, it's huge, so a lot of time should be given to that. But if you're going to start building new people, Dolph is consistently giving you the goods every week, whether on the mic this week or in the ring. I mean, being thrown to the pillbox didn't help, but, you know.
Yeah. And on top of that, that was another thing I point out in the blog. They didn't want either of those guys to lose. Like, I'm not sure why they scheduled that match.
Right.
Mason Ryan couldn't lose, and they are clearly behind Ziggler at this point, or else he wouldn't be getting – if he's not getting more mic time, he is consistently getting mic time now, as opposed to Vicky Guerrero. So,
yeah, I do wonder how much that Christian injury affected their plans, because it almost seemed like they were setting up John Morrison and Ziggler at Survivor Series.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that because it didn't. Did he end up? Oh yeah, he tossed him back into Mason Ryan. Mm-hmm.
Right, the guy that hasn't won matches in 5-6 months wins one match, and all of a sudden now we're supposed to take him seriously. So, but
yeah, well that's the way they love to. You know, that's another one that the WWE has just become a staple, building up. You know, the challengers for the intermediate belts, if you even want to call them intermediate.
Yeah.
Lower rung, way lower rung belts is probably a better way of describing them. Yeah. You know, it's just like the tag matches. You win one match and you're suddenly a number one contender for that belt.
Yes, yes.
And usually it's a non-title match against the team that has the title.
Right.
Well, team or person, I suppose I should say.
Yeah. I think another, what was that? Somebody else stood out. Oh, Cody Rhodes really stood out to me last night. And I know we're not talking about John Cena and Rock, but what the hell are we supposed to talk about with that? So, well, I guess John Cena we can for a little bit, but I thought Cody Rhodes looked really good last night.
Yeah, and, well, I guess that's another thing. To me, it is so much better if he finally gets away from having a gimmick.
Yep.
Like, everyone has a gimmick, I suppose, you know, whether it's the Viper Killer or whatever the fuck he calls himself these days. Or, you know, yeah, everyone kind of has a little bit of a shtick. But, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, stop using a mask, stop using some type of a, you know, a crutch, the vanity mirror before that so that he can have vignettes. Yeah. The guy can talk. I still don't think that he's going to get anywhere, like, and I'll continue to say it, that he won't get anywhere because he's not big enough in WWE land. Like, he might get one of those token, we'll give you the belt for a couple of months, but after that, you're not going to be sniffing it ever again.
Yeah, he won't be one of the relied upon guys.
No.
Like the placeholder sort, like Christian was.
Yeah, exactly. That's the lines that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know if I agree with you on that, but we've gone over that before, so whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I think losing the mask finally made him seem legit. And it was just like, and it was honestly one of those, well, it's about time sort of maneuvers. I mean, he's not a bad looking guy. He can talk, like you pointed out. So it's time to, you know, put the face out there. See if he can make some money, even if it's lower card money, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even think he's a bad wrestler.
No.
I mean, I think he's a pretty good wrestler. But, you know, it just kind of goes back to their preferred size and shape, and he is not in that category.
Well, he's trimmed up a lot. And I think, honestly, part of the presentation problem is the knee pads. As dumb as that continually sounds, it just looks awkward. We've already seen Triple H without the knee pads on, and his legs are goofy, too. So it hides your flaws. So it's time to, you know, it's a time to suck it up and just put some on, but whatever. I guess since, you know, we're running not long, but Kevin Nash came out, and that was fine. I mean, I think the scary part about this is that with the way CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio has been booked, it looks like CM Punk is going to win at Survivor Series and take the title.
Right, yeah, it definitely seems that way.
I just hope that this doesn't mean Kevin Nash is going to get that match with CM Punk and somehow win the title, and then somehow Triple H gets involved, and then, you know, eventually they give it back to Cena. But, I mean, that's the fear. And, you know, after readily admitting they do not have a plan, you know, and admitting to everybody that, you know, we were wrong, that there is no plan, I really hope that's not what they're going with. Kevin Nash should not be featured in any sort of main event program. You know, Triple H to him is a high mid-card act, it's fine, but that's it. That's the fear I have going into this.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm not even sure how they do that with him, because, I mean, he just really can't wrestle that many matches.
No, his knees can't take it.
No, I mean, I mentioned it back for the Pro Wrestling Ohio stuff, and soon thereafter, since he got on TV not long after that, is that, I mean, he just looked terrible just walking. Like, I mean, seeing him, you know, not more than 5 foot away just trying to walk to a restroom was, I mean, it just looked painful.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that isn't, walking to a restroom is not nearly trying to work a match level. So yeah, him getting the title would just, you know, it'd be a disaster.
Yeah, and as much as everyone's going to bitch, it's a legitimate concern.
What, his health?
No, him winning the title.
Oh,
the health, of course. But no, but him being put in a main event program, winning the title, that's got to be a legit concern.
Yeah.
I don't think the internet can handle that.
On the TNA level where it's just like, seriously, like, that's all you got, you know? Yeah. Like, he's been away from TV this long. You've built up a bunch of guys, and you've got to go back to him again. Yeah. Like, him and Triple H have enough mustard that there does not need to be a you know, any type of a title involved in that thing.
Right. I don't think Rock and Cena needs to have a title involved as well.
No.
It adds way more intrigue if there's no title. We've talked about that, but that was my way of segueing into the John Cena This Is Your Life segment. To me, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't good, mind you, but it wasn't horrible. And I think the hero of that segment was John Cena himself. Because he didn't play it up as, like, serious. He didn't play it up at all. He played it up as, like, the guy that's embarrassed. Now, whether or not it was because of what was going on or because of what was going on.
Right.
But I even tweeted, John Cena was totally likable in that whole thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, just him, like, his dad coming out, and then he's like, no, man, you know what? I've never pandered to anybody. Screw it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let it drop. And there was something else that I got a chuckle out of. I think it's just when they brought out the fourth grade gym teacher or whoever it was.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like making these little snide comments, like on the side, like just off to the side of the ring. And I thought that was way funnier than when he would just go, this is a shamackery, and this is, you know, the internet's ruining my life and whatever else. It was just little shitty comments that, I mean, they were funny. So he helped save that. And Foley didn't do a bad job, but it just, I didn't get why they did that. I guess it was supposed to make people cheer for Cena.
Well, I didn't get why they did it in the first time around. But then when everyone's, because wasn't that, or it's still in that, like, highest quarter hour segment ever kind of category?
Yes, yeah.
And it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, there was nothing to it. Like, I didn't like it then, and I guess it wasn't terrible. It was just that it lasted so long the last time.
Yeah, it was like a half hour, I believe.
Yeah, it just kind of got boring at some point. And I that was the one upside to this one is that, you know, at least they didn't, you know, stretch it out as long as they did that last one.
Yeah, and that was my main concern too. But then I was kind of torn on how they ended it. I guess I would have preferred Rock's first appearance being, you know, Rock's first appearance of the night. Not come out rock bottom, Foley, and take off. I guess I would have just preferred if he would have actually, like, you know, did that, Foley rolls out of the ring, and then Rock goes into promo mode, like at the end of the show or something. But I guess maybe they didn't want to take that chance, which they ended the show with a talking segment anyway, so I guess they did.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess they didn't mind it because he was, you know, the person who was in the other It's My Life segment. And to have him, you know, I don't know if he actually blamed Foley even for his version of it or not. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember. I mean, did Rock end up rock bottoming him at the end of that first one?
You know, I don't know. I don't remember at all.
Okay. Yeah, no, I really don't remember. That was quite some time ago. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't too bothered by that. To me, and I guess this is the reason it doesn't bother me, if your program's going to get rocked, shouldn't he be on for more than maybe 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that was the problem that I had with that one. It's just like, seriously? Like, he's... And I mean, I guess I wasn't really expecting him to be on a lot, but it still just seemed like not quite enough to me. Like, if you're going to advertise it as The Rock's big comeback to Raw and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised by the amount of Santino in the show. I was like, where the hell did that come from? And then, well, when we got fed to Nash, I was like, oh, all right, but they had to build up Santino. I mean, with the backstage stuff with him and Zack Ryder. The Zack Ryder stuff still kind of makes me laugh, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they just almost, you knew that they're going to have to blow off some time, and they definitely did that, that's for sure.
Yeah. Here's something that I find funny, though. People are still bitching about the way Zack Ryder's used on the show. And they're like, well, see, WWE's just giving us what they think. You know, they're just placating people by putting them on TV and this and this. Now, I wish I had, like, solid numbers in front of me. Judging by the amount of merch that was sold at the show that was half attended I went to, this is the best thing that's ever happened to him. There were Zack Ryder shirts, with the headbands now, bandanas, whatever they're called.
Yeah, headbands.
Sunglasses. And then apparently, were they trying to hawk
his necklace?
A necklace, yes. But then there was also, were they trying to hawk like some kind of iPod or iPhone or cell phone cover as well?
Oh,
did you notice that?
They were showing his phone a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they even had that one picture where they just popped it right in the screen and held it there. And I was like, dude, anyone who bitches about, well, people want to get behind him and this and this, he's making more money now. So, I mean, I'm sure from a professional view, only because I can't think of the word I want to use, he would love to be on TV more. You know, being main event, not main event, but being like those big matches with titles on the line, whatever else.
Right.
Because you get TV time that way, which leads to even more money. But for a guy who was doing diddly shit, he was doing a YouTube show. Everyone and their mother has one of those now. I mean, we practically fall into that.
Right.
He goes from that to having his merchandise consistently sold out and selling to all sorts of age groups.
Yeah. Kind of going back to they don't, like, just build people right up and give them a flipping title.
Right.
And, like, he's just going after the lower rung title, too, right now. So, you know, let him, because isn't he trying to get the rematch against Ziggler?
Yeah, on Twitter, of course.
Yeah.
Which in his case makes sense.
Right.
So I'm not going to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way, because his case makes absolute sense to be using social media, unlike every goddamn second. Twitter, tweet. Rock said it within the first 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, no, he said it three times within the first minute or two of his promo.
Dude, I'm starting to agree with Opie from Opie and Anthony. Not like I've talked it like we're peers, but Twitter's fucking stupid. If you really think about it, it's cool that people post links to stuff on there. That's it. I don't really care what you have to say about anything, nor should you care about what I have to say about anything. Send me a cool link or something, or like I like girls daily. That's how Twitter should be used. But who gives a fuck with this other stuff?
Yeah, well, and they were talking about this stuff trending, and it's just like, I kind of laughed today when Kent State beat West Virginia, and within a couple of minutes, because who was it? Oh, it was someone last night during Raw. They're like, oh, we'll give Boots the Asses, you know, like, you know, a little bit of time to start trending because, you know, people need to put it in. And then within, I think the guy said 7 minutes, it was trending. And the same thing happened with Kent State beating West Virginia today. So it's just like,
really? That's cool.
Yeah, so both Kent State and West Virginia were trending. So it's just like, yeah, I mean, as long as it's something kind of big and people mention it, it's just going to get on there. And because you're pushing it so hard, you know, of course. And it's still, the medium still isn't that big. And I think I mentioned that the last time around. It's nice. I like it. But, you know, it doesn't matter that you're trending on there. It doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how many followers you have, unless each follower of Twitter is paying you $5 or a dollar or just something. It doesn't. Who gives a shit? The dumbest people. Ashton Kutcher has what, 2 million something? That guy's a fucking retard. Who cares? No, I don't know. I like it. I like giving people shit on here because it's easy, and that's about it. So, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Well, just remember to join me in the Twitter drinking game next week.
No, I can't drink on Mondays. I can't do that.
It really was. It was just because that last episode was recorded in England. Because, yeah, two of the last 3 weeks, I guess it's been, or three of the last four, discounting that one. Oh, my gosh. The Twitter mentions have been just off the charts.
No, I'm not playing a drinking game on a weekday. No, especially not that one.
Yeah, no, you know what? They do actually take – I was surprised a couple of times. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to take a drink just so I don't get sober. Because it seemed like when they mentioned it, like, they just keep on mentioning it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they didn't mention it, it would be like, you know, for a whole segment or a couple of segments.
Well, have you established the rules for it anywhere?
Anytime they say Twitter, you drink.
Now, what happens if they put a plug on screen, like, you know, like at Rock or whatever, or like they show the hashtags? Or if they just show, like, a Twitter, you know, have you come up with any of that yet?
No, I was wondering if I should add trending, because there are a couple of times where they didn't mention Twitter, but they did mention trending. but, yeah, I haven't completely fleshed out the rules yet. I was just going literally with the word Twitter. And, I mean, it was still a decent chunk, like... I said Rock within the first couple of minutes. It was three times.
Well, when we're up there for WrestleMania, we'll play that Monday. Oh my god, dude! WrestleMania. Can you imagine how awful that's going to be if we do it then?
Yeah.
No, I mean actual WrestleMania event.
3 hours.
Oh Christ.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's seven for those.
I'm not sure if they've mentioned it on the pay-per-views as much. But we'll see. I guess I haven't paid attention since... Well, I don't know if I've gotten a pay-per-view since they... Like I said, it's only been maybe a month that they've really gone pretty ridiculous with their comments about it.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, they had been mentioning it before that because it was all... And that's the other funny thing is that Cole's the one that's having to deliver all the information, but he was just making that month ago that they weren't mentioning it as much. He was making fun of it all the time, you know, and now he's talking about it constantly. And, yeah. You know, that's just another thing that's just like, Lawler, why aren't you calling him out on that?
Well, yeah.
Well, to me, as much shit as Booker T gets, at least he calls Cole out on some of his dumb bullshit.
True.
You know, Booker has his own problems, but I still like him better than Lawler, easily.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah, I was trying to cut us out of here 15 minutes early, and then we got off on the Twitter thing. So, let's get the fuck out of here. Maybe back later in the week. You know how that works. Send us anything you find. StuntGranny@gmail.com. Eric was specifically looking for Bull Buchanan's contact information. I did a bunch of looking around. I didn't really find much of anything. But Eric would like to speak to him. So try and set up something. You know, it's kind of topical. So send that over. StuntGranny@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at StuntGranny. I am at Granny Mays. Kevin is at TheFrango11. Dusty is at DustyGeebink. What's Eric's?
Oh, letters are cool for proposals.
And they're going to be really cool for mocking pictures of proposals. So, So you're friends with Eric on Facebook. You know exactly what that's about. If you're not, then tough shit. You should get to know a guy personally when you listen to his shit all the time, but whatever. I think that's – oh, you can comment in the comment sections on anything we post on here. Just, you know, click on the link. I'm literally running out of steam here, even though I don't have any steam, so it's figuratively, not literally. Everyone, I'll talk at you next time. Later.
Okie doke, grandkids. Do remember that if you decide not to order Survivor Series this Sunday, a new episode of Pro Wrestling Ohio will be on at 10 p.m. And aside from that, I am going to go grab some Sippy Time Mead, and I am out of here.
Hey, that's on Sports Time Ohio, right?
Yes, Sports Time Ohio.
Yeah. All right. So there's the free plug. We should charge for that shit.
If we could charge for anything, it'd be nice.
That's true.
How's that for pile-driving Miss Daisy?